been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, February 24th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, broadcasting live one last time from Scottsdale, beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. And we have kind of a decent start to the market today after kind of a rough day yesterday, which we'll talk about. The Dow right now is up 44 basis points, which equates to 213 points. It's at 49,017. The NASDAQ is up 85 points. Big deal for AMD today. We'll talk about that. And the NASDAQ is up 75 to 22,703. The S&P is up just 6, however. Financials still struggling. They had a horrible day yesterday. We'll also talk about that today. The S&P is up 10 points right now to 68.48. The Russell 2000 is up 21 points. The 10-year is down to 4.03. That's good news on interest rates. 4.04 right now. Gold is backing off a little bit. Gold is down 1.5%. It had a big day yesterday. Silver is up just a skosh. And Bitcoin, the crisis, the confidence in Bitcoin continues. It's down 2280 to 63,452. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, broadcasting live one last time here for this current trip from Scottsdale, Arizona. We had a very good workshop last night, presentation to the retirement community of Sun City West and the investment club that meets there once a month. I was told I was the best one that ever has come there in the many years that people have been. I don't know how
they
bad
love,
the other
they
guys
love you
were,
over there.
But,
they love you,
yes,
there, Bill.
So. And I love them back, too. You know, there's a lot of good folks there. Worked hard all their life. And, of course, they come from mostly cold climates, which I can't blame a guy getting out of Michigan or Minnesota and having at least a winter home here. But a lot of them have made a permanent home here in that Sun City West, which isn't too far from where the Padres sports complex is and the Kansas City Royals, the Texas Rangers.
Taxes are a little
Mariners.
Better. Yeah,
taxes are
a little
better. There's no shoveling of snow in January.
he gets to move a scorpion or two, but that's
it gets a little hot in mid-August and whatnot. But, I kind of like the desert landscape myself. It's always appealed to me, I guess, growing up in California. I'm not used to lush green trees like they have back on the eastern seaboard. California, even Southern California, pretty much is a desert climate, just a little bit above that. And you don't have to go too far to get into a desert climate. But I don't know, the cactus and whatnot and the rock formations, I find it very appealing myself and very been a nice place to work from, very quiet and peaceful, a lot of birds, a lot of doves, the doves cooing in the background. We had a good day yesterday. The market did not have a good day yesterday. And I'm going to tell you what that was all about. Now, a lot of people wanted to, especially the media, okay, they want to blame any drop in the market on guess who and you know, the tariffs and whatnot. But there was what rocked the markets yesterday was this private credit nightmare that is just beginning to unfold. And at the center of the hurricane, is a company by the name of Blue Owl, which all of a sudden is the poster child for what is going on or about to go on in this private credit market. And I only have to wonder if, you know, once private credit is under attack now big time. People want their money out, and that's not so easy to get your money out. The liquidity is a big problem.
It's easy to get it in, so it's tricky to get it out.
It's tricky to get it out, and you may still be getting your monthly checks from the company, but it's the principal that you got to worry about. As Mark Twain said, it's not so much how much I'm earning on my investments. It's my investment, you know, that I'm worried about.
Well, it doesn't matter if
you put into it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you have $10 million. If it's all in, you know, one of these things, you only get what monthly distribution they give to you. I mean, you can't get to your $10 million.
No, and you know what? Look, I put liquidity at the top of the list, and I said that last night in my workshop. Yep. I don't like to invest in things that aren't liquid. If I invest in a home, I want a home with a view or a home on the water that is pretty liquid and a hot property. Of course, I pay up to begin with, but it's liquid if I need the money out. Liquidity is a big, big issue for me, and that's why I don't sell annuities. That's why I don't sell any kind of things that tie up your money for several years and there's no liquidity. Because you never know what's going to happen in life where you need to get access to that money. Now, the problem with Blue Owl, and Jamie Dimon is weighing in on it here this morning. Blue Owl has loaned a bunch of money to, privately. It's not a bank. That's another big issue. And the creditworthiness is very much questionable. And it's just not much different from what they did in 08 and 09 with the mortgages. It's very, very similar. Now, that had a little bit more going on there. You know, you had a top in the real estate prices and the housing market.
And a lot more contagion. You had normal, regular people with, you know, three homes, their home, and two rentals.
I mean, and the banks had a lot of exposure. I mean, Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch.
Reinsurers.
Wachovia just went on right down the line, and a lot of those banks aren't even around anymore. They were forced to be bought out, and you had all the TARP funds. I tried to find a number of how much was tied up in those subprime mortgages. I haven't been able to find
not,
that yet.
Yeah, I was looking a little bit yesterday, too. Put it this way, there's a wide-ranging number of numbers. I saw some pretty wide.
I didn't see $1.8 trillion, though, show up in any of the numbers I looked at, which is what's in private credit right now.
Right.
But don't forget, underneath private credit is private equity. And I've just seen these companies I talk to, you know, that were interested. They're going around the country and they're buying up financial advisors.
Yeah, buying up everything. I mean,
they're buying
a
lot
companies.
Of subpar companies with very little growth, very little marketing. You know, how much exposure do a lot of these companies do? A lot of the RIAs out there. How much exposure do they have to private credit and private equity? I think it's going to bring a halt. I think that's going to be a big question before one of these big aggregating firms buys another one. They're going to say, how much exposure do you have to this private credit, which I've been warning about for years? It's just another bad idea by Wall Street. Okay, but the problem is it is not contained to Blue Owl. Yesterday, MasterCard got pummeled. Visa got pummeled. Goldman Sachs got pummeled. Barclays Bank in the UK got pummeled. Citigroup got pummeled.
JP Morgan, right? I mean.
JP Morgan. They got pummeled. The financial sector looks like the software sector looked like several months ago. It's breaking down. And that we don't know where the bottom is. This is just like the tip of the iceberg. Blue Owl is the tip of the iceberg. And because all of a sudden people got wind that Blue Owl was having credit problems, you know, their loan portfolios weren't all that they were cracked up to be, and people wanted out. And that creates a problem because you can't get out. And now you have a run on the bank. The yield on Blue Owl has risen to 8.64 if you believe in the company. I don't. because as the stock goes down, the dividend yield goes up. It's just a matter of time. In fact, they have. They've halted. They have halted any kind of, you know, you cannot get your money out. You might still get your monthly check, but they have halted going in and liquidating your account. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. And I don't know how much you can compare it to the 2008, 2009, which really started to unwind in 2007 as home prices rocketed to record highs and money was being loaned to almost anybody that could sign on the dotted line. We'll sure find out here in the days and weeks ahead. We'll be right back.
I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, as always, as I taught the workshop last night, I talked about the Big E. No, not Elvin Hayes, who used to play for the Houston Rockets, where we're headed here today and tomorrow and the next day. But
you had, of course, Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. I mean,
yes, exactly. But the Big E in the market is earnings. I had one guy ask me, what do you think of IBM? I said, well, here you go. 10 years ago, they made $2.93 per share. This is 2026. They're going to make $2.89 per share. That equals no growth. No growth. And we talked about how stocks follow earnings. Indexes follow earnings. I put up a 15-year chart of the S&P 500. I said, is this in a number one sideways trend, number four downtrend, number three topping trend, or number two uptrend? It's obviously still in a number two uptrend that began in 2009. Then I showed the chart of the earnings since 2009 for the S&P 500, and it looked just like the chart of the S&P 500. If that doesn't prove that indexes don't follow earnings, nothing else will. And I also said that that is the very best indicator of the market, not just earnings, but forward earnings estimates. And if this is going to be a big contagion and a big mess, this private equity and private or private debt and then private equity is going to start showing up in the earnings of the S&P 500. I doubt that many S&P 500 stocks have exposure, however, Barry. That's one thing that gives me hope. When the crisis happened in 2008, a lot of S&P 500 stocks had exposure. The Lehman Brothers, the Bear Stearns, the Countrywide Financials.
Well, you had reinsurers. You had not only did you have bad, you know, housing debt, then you had, you know, bad housing debt insured by other banks. So, I mean, the cascading effect, my guess, would be much wider in the 08-09, but there are certainly parts of that private credit market that are in dire, you know, going to be in dire situation.
And I think it's pretty much in the private space. Some of these alternative investment management stocks, such as Carlyle Group, Ares Capital,
Apollo.
Blackstone just got crushed yesterday. Because they've been loading up. I got an email from Carlyle Group maybe 2 weeks ago that said, we are now everything private. This is our thing. Private. Private equity. Private credit. Well, that's not a good place to be sitting right now. Okay, earnings. Earnings, earnings. We've got Home Depot here this morning. What do you think? Soggy stock or still a vibrant, growing, lively? We'll get to that. Realty Income's going to report, Hewlett-Packard, Workday, blah, 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 Kava. Tomorrow is what I'd consider the biggest report of them all.
I mean, we get NVIDIA, and then pretty soon after that, we get a workshop from from Bill Gundry.
Yeah, I'll be live that night. I could have a grim look on my face. Or I don't expect them to blow out earnings, but I also don't expect them to disappoint, you know. And we also get Salesforce tomorrow, Lowe's, Snowflake, which you don't see too much of around here in Arizona. On Thursday, you get Baidu, Zscaler, Autodesk, Hormel, blah, blah, blah. And on Friday, a few companies here and there. Now, the big deal of the day, and this continues to be where the demand is in the market, and this is where the earnings growth is in the market, AI spending. You want to be on the other end of that AI spending. Yes, Meta is a good company, and they're spending a big deal of money, a lot of money. It was Google, I think, first that they invested in and bought a bunch of chips from Google. They're investing in data centers. They're investing in AI. And now they have a mega deal with AMD and Arista. And Lumentum.
Taking a pretty good equity stake in AMD as part of the deal. It's kind of unique how they've weared it out. I kind of like the terms to where, you know, once it's, you know, I think there's some warrants involved, and you know, as they hit whether AMD stock price hits a particular level, or if the project, you know, this is like, you know, what, I think six kind of, you know, 6 gigawatts or whatever of you know, memory and power here, and so they're going to phase it out, and as they hit phases, they'll you know, get some of that equity, and so I think it's a good deal for both, it seems like, at
yes.
least from the outside.
And AMD is picking up steam right now. It's up almost 8%. It's in our premier growth portfolio. I think I gave the crowd every stock we own last night in one way or another, and I also made the point, look, I am not an ETF buyer. I'm an individual stock investor. You can own the semiconductor ETF, which probably has 50 names in it, when there's only 4 good semiconductor stocks in the whole world right now. Why would you own the ETF and water down your returns? What are the 4? Well, we talk about them all the time. NVIDIA is the powerhouse, obviously, number 1. Taiwan Semiconductor, which makes the NVIDIA chips, number 2. ASM Lithography, which makes the equipment to make the chips, number 3. And AMD is probably the very best NVIDIA related, even though the CEOs are related. Jensen Huang and Lisa Su are cousins. But AMD, you know, has replaced. And I also talked about that replacement. Look, at one time it was Cisco. No, now it's Arista Networks. At one time it was Intel. No, now it's AMD and NVIDIA. The giants have fallen. The has-beens have not kept up. The IBMs of the world, the Hewlett-Packards of the world have been left in the dust. And you have a whole new bunch of leadership in the market today where the earnings are flourishing. And the demand for their products is flourishing. So that's good news. You know, AMD was kind of teetering, too, a little bit. I always have a line in the sand. I don't consider any stock sacred, untouchable, you know, because there's things that can change, and there's technical levels that can change, that can be breached, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I always know where the exit door is, just in case. But I'm happy to see AMD get this big boost here this morning. And you notice that Meta didn't go knocking on Intel's door. Meta didn't go knocking on Marvell's door. Meta didn't go knocking on any of the other guys' doors. They knocked on AMD's door because they know that's a healthy, vibrant, growing company with great capabilities. Okay, when we come back, well, we got a lot to talk about. I'm going to have to talk really fast. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Can't turn him into a whore, and the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play with them.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's take a look here at, we talked about these networking stocks and this mega deal that Meta has signed that is boosting AMD. It's boosting Lumentum, L-I-T-E. It's boosting Taiwan Semiconductor. It's boosting Coherent, C-O-H-R. As AMD is going to deploy up to 6 GW. Is that gigawatts? I'm going to have to learn this. I think it is. Gigawatts.
I'm going with gigawatts, gigawatts. So I know. That's what I'm the official. Every time I see it, I'm like, is that gigawatts, gigawatts?
What? Yes. But anyways, they're buying enough chips to supply them with 6 gigawatts of AI capability.
Yeah, 1 gigawatt, and just for those counting at home, 1 gigawatt equals 1,000 megawatts, in case you're
okay.
Interested.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
There we go.
Okay, all right. Let's see. Okay, now, since we're coming headed for Texas right after this, AES, I want to say they are a Texas company, and I'm going to look that up. I have followed AES over the years. They are a kind of a power broker, you know, of electricity. And no, they're actually headquartered in Arlington, Virginia, but I know they have a lot of facilities all across the country.
It's in Arlington, Texas, too, so it's a pretty
yes,
good one.
Yes, yes. And cool. They've signed a deal. With let's see who that one was. I think Google. Google's spending a lot of money. A 20-year power supply agreement for a Google data center in Texas. So that will be in Wilbarger County, Texas. Another massive data center. This one, Google. You know, I was logging into my app this morning, and of course, I have it hosted by a company I've been with for a long time that hosts my app website, and it does tell me that I'm in a data center in Utah, is where my app is housed.
Really?
Yes.
That what it says that?
Yes, and I think, you know, when I first signed up, I think that's where where the company was, and I think they got bought out at some point by HostMonster, but they still they're in a little piece of a huge data center. Up in Utah, which has a lot of data centers, believe it or not. There's some huge. Adobe has a huge data center up in Utah. So anyways, you've got a partnership between Google and AES, a 20-year power purchase. So I guess Google doesn't see data centers going anywhere as they sign a 20-year power deal. Watch out, says Jamie Dimon. He issues a warning for the credit market and beyond. He says that aggressive competition, yes, that's private equity money, private credit money, and lower credit standards are leading some firms to take higher risk to boost profitability metrics. The thing is, when they put these packages together, let's say it's Apollo Group, let's say it's Carlyle Group, whatever the case may be, there's a lot of fees involved, Barry. And therein, you know, lies their motivation to put these things and package them together. And then, of course, they offer incentives to RIAs like me. I don't know. I mean, RIA, I don't we don't buy anything that has a commission attached to it, so maybe they have to go through broker dealers.
Yeah, maybe
they have a product for RIAs.
They do, right? Nowadays it's kind of two ways, right? If you're somebody's a broker dealer, they can if they want, you can carve off some of those. I mean, are 5%, right? In terms of some of those, selling those is pretty lucrative sometimes. Certainly for the advisor.
So they would take
like a 5% commission, but nowadays they do have, they have a value to them. So theoretically you could have a client with $150K in one of these things, right? It sits on the balance sheet and RAs could, I guess, bill on it as an assets under management type agreement. But most of them are sold with some type of commission or sales charge on the front end.
Yes, and I got numerous emails over the. You know how many conferences I've been invited to, and a free hotel room, and a free dinner, and blah blah blah. And I have a response to all of them: go jump in a lake, the biggest lake you can find, and don't bother me again. This is another piece of garbage, toxic waste that Wall Street has come up with for them to earn fees. Everybody makes money on the deal. Except for the investor. And, I try to make money for investors. That's what I'm in the business for. He says, this is Jamie Dimon, market participants, that's you, listening audience, should stay vigilant and prepare for potential shifts in credit quality, especially given the growing risk in private credit. Well, Jamie Dimon is saying now today what I've been saying for the last couple of years. These are non-bank lenders, fintech, and AI disruption are all involved in this. Should the cycle go south, it might also take some unsuspecting victims down with it as the battle for yield. There's another problem. They're appealing to greed. Seeking alpha. How many times have I told you, when you see those big yields, don't be sucked in? And they're battling to get you in. We offer 9%. We offer 10%. We offer 11%. I saw that Y refi. If you lock up your money for 10 years, it's like an 11% annual return. How safe is your principal? Well, people are going to find out. Jamie Dimon says, you feel stupid when everybody's coining money and everyone's great. It feels very good. But he says, take a deep breath and say, watch out. We saw this same thing in 05, 06, and 07. This is Jamie Dimon, almost the same thing. Why don't they ever learn? The rising tide was lifting all boats, and everyone was making a lot of money. I see a couple of people doing some dumb things that are just doing dumb things to create net interest income. There's always a surprise in a credit cycle. The surprise has often been which industry has hit the hardest. You didn't expect utilities and phone companies to go down in 08 and 09, and this time around it might be software because of AI. There will be a cycle one day. I don't know what confluence events will cause, blah, 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 blah. But anyways, Jamie Dimon absolutely warning about the private credit risk. And, of course, Blue Owl Capital, which is at the center of the hurricane, they're the tip of the iceberg. They're the ones that have become the poster child for this. I read an article yesterday on Seeking Alpha saying, why the big worry over Blue Owl? They offer a 9% dividend yield, which is well back. I had to comment on that article. I said, you know what? Don't walk. Run from this garbage. This thing's going to blow up and infect a whole lot. I can't believe somebody wrote an article that said that. But, hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Blue Owl today gets downgraded by Deutsche Bank. They're cutting the price target from 15 down to $10 per share. Shares have fallen 28% in the last month. Let's just check in on our friends at Blue Owl. Was Bill Wright again, or is the writer that writing this article saying this is the time to back up the truck and load up on this dividend payer? Blue Owl is down 1% today, but it's gone from 21 to 10 in the last since June of last year. It's been cut in half. Blue Owl is headquartered in New York, New York, where most of these bad ideas originate from. I call it Wall Street. Bitcoin falls below 63,000, heading for the worst month since June of 2022. Someone asked me about Bitcoin last night. What do you think of crypto? I said, I've never liked it, and I think I'm being proven right here. Now, hopefully, a lot of people sold at 125,000 and booked some really big, big profits. If you had been watching a chart, you would have gotten out of Bitcoin when it broke support. You would have had a line in the sand somewhere in the $100,000 area, and you'd be sitting there going, man, I'm thankful that I'm not still sitting in this thing. Now it's down to 63,000. Now it's down 50% from that high. That's why knowing when to sell is also a very, very critical element of investing. I find very few people know when to sell. Hoping and praying is not a strategy. Gripping the armchair is not a strategy, white knuckling it, because it can get a lot worse. So anyways, not a fan, never have been, never will be, but we will be back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, I tell you, another group that's had some renewed interest here the last couple of days, but I'll tell you what, those stocks are all over the map, is the rare earth stocks. They had a huge day yesterday. MP Materials, mostly USAR, Carmel, C-A-R-M-L, which is the Greenland one, and a few others. Today, Centrus Energy, which is very much a uranium stock, the CEO is warning of a looming supply gap, which threatens U.S. nuclear resurgence. So obviously, yes, you want to build all these new nuclear plants, which I talked about last night at the workshop. The resurgence of nuclear power, you got to have the uranium. He says there's going to be a looming supply crunch of uranium fuel due to fast rising demand and a ban on Russian imports. That's something that has to be addressed. He says there's a gap between supply and demand for the existing market on just the operating reactors that we have now. Adding that plans to build a new fleets of large and small nuclear reactors in the U.S. would pose longer-term challenges. The market is strained and will continue to be strained until large amounts of new capacity are going to come online, and that will be in the next decade. Centrus, which is LEU, is racing to build enrichment capacity at its Ohio plant. Shout out to our Ohio listeners, Barry. We're in Columbus there, and we're in Cleveland, and we'll be headed there this year. But at that Ohio plant, they're helping to meet a $2.3 billion backlog in sales of enriched uranium to customers. But the restart of several U.S. nuclear plants and upgrading of the reactor's fleet to boost electricity production will pressure the handful of Western suppliers of enriched uranium. Something else to think about when you lay your head on your pillow tonight. Yeah. Centrus is partnered with Urenco, a private company owned jointly by British and Dutch governments. They're currently the only companies licensed to enrich uranium in the U.S., and there are no U.S.-based commercial suppliers of the highly enriched fuel required to power the new generation of smaller reactors that are under development. Sounds like there's a big problem there, but hopefully we've got some problem solvers in government and in private industry right now that are working to address this problem. Hims and Hers discloses an SEC investigation over copycat GLP-1s. Stock falls again. You know, we knew it was a matter of time.
I mean, how long does it take? I don't know. Like, yeah. That whole thing is just, you know, blows my mind. It's like, you know, it just, I don't understand why no one just doesn't infringe upon all kinds of copyrights and then after the fact be like, hey, well, here's 30%. Everybody makes money, and we move on. I mean,
it's
let them
easier
go
to
on
ask forgiveness than permission, right? That seems to be the theme here, that they got away with it and were printing money for a long, long time, and now you know the chickens are coming home to roost there. Okay, I got asked about IBM. IBM had a terrible day yesterday.
The worst day since. In 25 years, by the way, for IBM yesterday.
And if we look at a five-year valuation, I did my whole thing last night. I said, first I look at the track record, just like a baseball player. You got all these guys over here in spring training that have number 98 on their jersey. That means they're here, they're way down the line. I don't know who they are. I look at the scoreboard.
That's your emerging. That's your emerging market name.
Yeah, even lower than that. These are like private equity stuff. You know, really, 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 really risky. But anyways, IBM has not been a very good performer over the years. It could be worse. You could do a whole lot worse than IBM. But the thing is, you can also do a whole lot better. So I looked at the track record. They get a track record grade of, actually they get an A minus because they had a little good run here recently, but now you have to look at the 5-year valuation. I said it's all about looking at the last 1, 3, 5, 10 years, and then it's all about looking forward to that valuation, and I have 56% upside potential, which is a D minus. The growth isn't there. I'm using a growth rate of 8%, which might even be a little bit on the optimistic side. And the same could be said for Home Depot, which is reporting earnings here today. They're talking about the crisis in the housing market where people aren't moving. They're not moving up to another home and fixing it up. I mean, there's some of that going on, but because of the interest rate environment, you know, that's pretty much, unless you could take your mortgage with you or assume the mortgage of the person that you're buying the home from, that's not possible. Home Depot is down 4% over the last 12 months. It's badly, badly trailed the S&P 500. Over the last 1, 3, 5, and 10 years. What makes you think that all of a sudden it's going to start outperforming the S&P 500? And I also make the point, think of the baseball all-star game when the best of the best, there's only 25 spots on that roster. That's what you want to have in your portfolio. And I gave them lots of examples last night of bad stocks, and I gave them lots of examples of good stocks. Home Depot has 39% upside potential over the next 5 years. That's an F. And Home Depot currently comes in at a rank of 2,233 out of 5,203. I don't think it's going to make that opening lineup on opening day in baseball. All right, we're out of time. Tomorrow we'll be reporting live, broadcasting live from Houston on Wednesday and Thursday. If you would like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, to get that 4-week trial. A lot of people asked me last night, how do I get access to your app? I said, look, I get free 4 weeks access to the app, the in-depth newsletter that I create and send out every Saturday, which is my internal research. And I give you everything I buy and sell for the next 4 weeks in the portfolios, the four portfolios that I manage. That's a deal. Just go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.